We're talking about the book, The New Social Learning, A Guide to Transforming Organizations Through Social Media. Joining us here in studio is Tony Bingham. He's president and CEO of the American Society for Training and Development. And joining us on the line is Marcia Connor. She is a partner for Enterprise Collaboration at the Altimeter Group, and they are both authors of this book. Thanks so much for coming in, and thank you, Marcia. I know you're traveling around, so thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here. Great topic.
So, yeah, it is a fun topic. And I know you have to jump, Marcia, so I'm going to have you start. Talk about the new social learning. When we talk about new social learning, what are we talking about here?
We're talking about elevating the conversations, the way people are learning from one another, to a place where everybody can see that and learn from one another across the enterprise, across the government, across organizations, societies, communities, wherever they are. And also people contributing to that conversation so that they're not only recipients of learning, but they can actually be sharing what they're learning with other people so they can be learning from it as well. And that being done persistently. So it's not just one person throwing a voice out once here or there, but people being able to contribute on a regular basis to be able to change a culture so that it's one where people are learning all the time from one another.
Tony, talk a little bit about how this feels different in some way. All of a sudden, this technology, these tools out here, does it make a difference?
Well, it definitely makes a difference. I think what we're seeing now that's different is people have this, they've always had this intense desire to learn from each other. And today what has changed is there's all these enabling technologies where people are learning from each other, but we also have the ability to catalog and store that and then reuse that at a later time. And that's, I think, one of the big differences is that the institutional knowledge that has historically walked out the door when people retire or leave is now going to remain within the organization.
Marcia, the phrase I often use is that all of us are smarter than each of us individually, and it seems like these tools allow us to tap into that in some kind of real way.
Incredibly, people argue all the time with us, however, when we talk about all of us being smarter than any one of us. So yeah, it's amazing to believe that, but when we ask the question, how can anybody argue that the people outside of your organization are always smarter than the people you have? There are way more people out there, and it's great for us to be learning from all of them, or as many of them as that we can.
And is this, a lot of people resist these things and think of these tools as, quote-unquote, social and not really real. Is it because they're afraid of them, or what's your sense as to why the pushback on them?
In most organizations, talking with one another is perceived as a time waster. That's not the real work. And so the idea of social being at the core of how we actually do work as a species, we're social animals. We learn from one another. We evolve as a result of the experiences we have of building knowledge with different people. And so once we actually start tipping that balance and remember that that's how we naturally work and these are the tools finally at our disposal, as opposed to we being following the tools around, we can actually start seeing real change.
Tony, talk a little bit about why does collaboration, social, I mean, the name of your book, The New Social Learning, my favorite part of it is actually the subhead, The Guide to Transforming Organizations Through Social Media, and it's that transformation that really a lot of folks struggling with right now. How do we make our organizations more nimble, to use the horrible phrase, think outside the box?
Yeah, IBM did a recent study capitalizing on complexity, and they talked about leadership competencies going forward, and they said that the number one competency going forward is the ability to be creative, because what's happening is that problems are getting so complex, and what's really transforming the organization is that to solve complex problems, you're not relying necessarily on just one individual in one time zone. You can reach across the enterprise to solve these problems, and I think that's one of the big areas of change going forward.
Marcia, I know you got to go, and I'm going to let you go. Let me ask you one last question, because it's that complexity, that agility. Do these tools really help, or are they just kind of fun to have around?
Both,
yeah.
And they're very, very helpful. One person adds to a conversation, the next person adds on, and then the third person is able to see that with a different eye, at a different perspective, and all of a sudden you're innovating and you're creating things that didn't exist before. The tools in the past have really been one to another. They haven't been actually bringing people together in a way that's enjoyable, that's fun, that's interesting, and it's something that they choose to do. It's not as though it's being put on them, but it's something that they want to participate in, and that engagement is always far more productive and helpful for organization than when we feel trapped by the tools or we have to do it because, well, the organization says we should.
And yet that funness of it, people almost then discount, it can't be fun because it's work. And in fact, I've even seen people post that, you know, work isn't supposed to be fun. If it's fun, it's not work. And I'm always like, hold on, if you don't like what you do, go do something else, for goodness sakes.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully these tools are providing an opportunity for people to realize that they can bring their whole selves to work, that they can actually have some fun, they can enjoy what they do, and they can bring the passions that they have outside of the workplace to bear on getting the work done within the workplace, too.
Marcia Connor, she's a partner for Enterprise Collaboration at the Altimeter Group and co-author of the book, The New Social Learning, A Guide to Transforming Organizations Through Social Media. Thank you for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Have a terrific show. You're in good hands with Tony, and I look forward to hearing from all of you afterwards.
Great. Thank you very much. And I'm going to introduce the rest of our group here and explain. I sort of leaped right into it and didn't really explain how all this works. I always describe it. In fact, I often describe the Federal News Radio Book Club as Oprah's book club, but I make a lot less money, and we talk about sort of wonky books, but books that actually help you do your job better. And joining me for as part of the discussion, Mark Olert. He is innovation evangelist for the Defense Acquisition University. Andrew Karsmarsik is on the line. He is the community manager for GovLoop. He formerly was with Graduate School USDA. They change the name all the time. So Graduate School USDA is correct, right?
Yeah, it's like the artist formerly known as Prince.
Yeah.
Right? So I think it's my graduate school right now.
And also joining us is Debbie Weil. She is a D.C.-based corporate social media consultant and speaker. She's author of the wonderful book, The Corporate Blogging Book. And earlier this year, she was named by Fast Company as one of the most influential women in technology. So we're just we're a bask in your glow,
and me and yours too as well.
Oh yes, right. That's not a glow. That's something else. But we'll talk about that later.
Well, starting to feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, right. And essentially, we're going to spend the first half of the book talking, and all of them are going to join in, asking. We're putting Tony on the hot seat, and he has to answer all our questions and make us all smarter. And then we're going to have this be a discussion about some of the challenges out there, because I know there are a lot of challenges out there. And Tony, we were talking a little bit about, in the book, you talk about something called collective intelligence. It's, again, this idea that all of us are smarter than each of us individually. And all of a sudden, you do have these tools that allow you to tap into that collective intelligence in a real way, aren't there?
Yes, and I think that's the beauty of it. And I think it's also a requirement going forward, is that as these problems intersect in ways that are not predictable, the old model of teaching how to solve a problem and then you run into the problem and you know from history how to solve it, that's going away because we're running into problems that we haven't seen before. And so we need to rely on the intelligence, this collective intelligence of people beyond just our core group.
And part of the challenge is, and as I kept reading the book, and I think I've read it five times now because I actually prepare for these things.
Did you buy it five times?
No, I'm going to have you sign my Kindle later. I kept thinking people think of training, and training in a way almost gets discounted. It's the thing we cut in the budget when the going gets tough. We don't take it really seriously. And also, we always think of it as the classroom, and it's really much more than the classroom, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. The majority of learning that occurs within an organization is, quote-unquote, informal learning, but not the facilitated, organized, structured, scheduled type of learning. It is the informal learning where people are learning from each other, and that's really their natural tendency. And now we have some social technologies that enable that.
When we come back, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about one of my favorite examples that you use in the book, and of course it's the CIA and their wonderful program that they call WIRE. And we'll explain how it works and some of the lessons learned. We are talking, the Federal News Radio's book club, we're talking about the book, The New Social Learning, A Guide to Transforming Organizations Through Social Media. It's by Tony Bingham and Marcia Connor. And we will continue our conversation about the book just ahead on the Dora Beck Insider. It's right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
HalfPriceDC.com. Half-price gift certificates to the area's best restaurants, spas, and more.
This week, buy half-price gift certificates to the Chicken Place in Fair Oaks Mall, a Peruvian-style rotisserie restaurant serving the authentic and bold taste of a la brasa chicken, steaks, and sausages.
And Tequila Grande of Vienna, good-tasting Mexican food that's fresh, flavorful, original, and pure. Chef Prakash guarantees that.
See all the offers at halfpricedc.com.
IT professionals and graduates from around the country have a lot to say about their experiences from the online Masters in Information Systems from UMBC, the University of Maryland, Baltimore County.
Project management, principal, now I have a lot more understanding. That is also something that I have been able to bring to the table.
Apply today for our upcoming semester. For more information, call 1-800-353-UMBC or visit us online at onlinems.umbc.edu.
Video teleconferencing solutions are changing the way people communicate by breaking down walls and enabling face-to-face communication regardless of distance or environment. Tanberg, now a part of Cisco, the leading global provider of telepresence, high-definition video conferencing, and mobile video products and services, developed Break Down the Walls to provide a window into the ways government, education, and healthcare organizations are using VTC solutions to help them operate more effectively and efficiently, and the ways video solutions can be used to address the ongoing challenges facing these public sector organizations today. Video breaks down the walls of communication between classrooms, boardrooms, war rooms, and operating rooms, and enables the new way of working. High-definition, real-time, secure face-to-face conversations, as if you're in the same room. Learn more at breakdownthewalls.com. That's breakdownthewalls.com.
Why does a waiting room have to feel like a waiting room? And does a stress test have to be so stressful? At Kaiser Permanente, we don't think it does, and we've made the changes to prove it. With brand new state-of-the-art facilities opening all around the Mid-Atlantic, like the Kaiser Permanente Capitol Hill Medical Center, we're poised to become the leader in healthcare for the D.C. and Baltimore area. With easier access to primary and specialty care, full-service radiology, lab tests, and pharmacy services, we're offering more choices than ever before. Our staff of top-notch physicians is growing by more than 200, providing greater access to care. And our innovative electronic medical records allow members to view their own medical history 24/7. Plus, members can email their doctor's office, check most lab results, refill prescriptions, and even choose their primary care and OBGYN, all online. The future in healthier care is already here. Find it at kp.org/midatlantic. Kaiser Permanente. Thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
Plan now to attend Affirm's breakfast briefing on government innovators, Catalysts for Change. It features our very own Francis Rose Thursday, November 18th at the Washington Court Hotel in downtown D.C. You'll dialogue with speakers as Affirm explores how newly emerging technologies are transforming government. Register today for a timely and informative discussion. Go to Affirm.org to register. That's Affirm.org.
Welcome back to the Dora Beck Insider on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 22 past the hour. It is the Federal News Radio Book Club. We are talking about the book, The New Social Learning, A Guide to Transforming Organizations Through Social Media. It is by Tony Bingham, our guest, Tony Bingham. And joining us as part of the discussion, Mark Olert. He is with the Innovation Evangelist at the Defense Acquisition University. Andrew Karsmarzik is Community Manager for GovLoop. And Debbie Weil, she is a D.C.-based corporate social media consultant and author of the book, The Corporate Blogging Book, which you've just updated recently, right? It's the Corporate Blogging Book has a new intro. I'm sorry, I interrupted her tweeting. Sorry about that.
Yes, there's a 2010 edition that you can get on Amazon for Kindle, but also for any smartphone. It's not just for Kindle.
Yeah, it's great.
Download it in 30 seconds.
Yeah, it's amazing. And we have links to all the books on our website, federalnewsradio.com/DoraBeckInsider. Tony, talk a little bit about the CIA example, because the CIA, they've done some remarkable, really remarkable things. And in fact, I'm just going to read you talked about in creating what they call the World Intelligence Review, the team created, essentially used four tracks. One is retire and replace what no longer works, embrace the best of what's being done in the private sector and bring it to intelligence, develop a relationship with your customers, and recognize that we don't always know how social media tools fit in or how they'll apply to this. Those seem like very simple and yet can be really hard to bring about, aren't they?
Absolutely, especially in a place like the CIA where obviously confidentiality and security are paramount. And I think what's awesome about what they did is that they went into an environment that was typically all print-based, usually a little bit behind the
times.
Explain
what the CIA Wire is. This is essentially a news. It's like a newspaper, but for really people who need to know what's going on, senior intelligence officers.
Yeah, a daily update that provides a review of situations that are occurring that the senior officers need to be aware of.
And so they were turning this to a more online product, something that all of us in journalism are really thinking about in order to, because you got to get this information out. You got to get people to learn. This is talk about transforming your organization.
Yes. And it allows, we talked about that collective intelligence earlier. It allows multiple agencies to contribute to the information, but it also adds a highly interactive multi-dimensional approach to how they present the information. So there's videos on it, you know, there's text, there's links, there's attribution as is appropriate. And so it creates an emotional bond with that information, so you are really connected to not just text, but to what's really occurring.
And allows you to incorporate video and tweets and anything that ties to helping folks do their job better.
Yes.
One of the things, yeah, go ahead, Mark.
I was just going to say that when I was at Booz Allen before I came to DAU, I actually worked with the team at CIA who does The Wire. And one of the big dynamics that they were discussing at the time was this movement from an edit then publish mode to a publish then edit mode. And the power that was going to have, that it was going to result in a change from people thinking about intelligence reports as finished inventory to looking at a stream of intelligence and being able to make assessments in a different kind of way with additional context that wasn't there when you're looking at a finished product. And that was a huge cultural shift for them.
Mm-hmm. And this is part of that. It's a mindset change. As I kept reading through here, I kept thinking, hold on, one of your bullet points is develop a relationship with your customers. And I was going, hold on, how do you not have a relationship with your customers? But this happens a lot in organizations.
Absolutely. And, you know, we talked about some of the problems that occurred before 9/11 and some of the other situations that the U.S. has been involved in. And a lot of it was we had the intelligence, but it wasn't being shared.
And part of that develop a relationship with your customer is thinking about, hold on, with thinking of all these people that you're writing for as customers, even that seems like a mindset change, particularly in a government framework.
Yeah, definitely. And you can see the impact that it's had. It's already had tremendous positive impact.
Talk about the balance, though, between security and sharing and not sharing, because particularly in DOD, Mark will tell you that they almost have it tattooed when you go over there, loose lips sink ships. And so there's almost this resistance to sharing information.
Well, historically, there has been that resistance, and you still have to implement the appropriate levels of security. It's not wide open, and so they are leveraging security to protect the information as is appropriate.
And you have some great tips on how to go about doing that, and we're going to talk about those. One of them is don't have to share everything. Start wade into the pool. You don't have to jump into the deep end.
Yeah, absolutely. Most people, it's not about trying to do everything at once. Most organizations who try to do everything at once, they end up failing. So it is start small and gain some successes.
It's a lot more to talk about, and we're going to open up the discussion. All the folks here have been very good and been very, very quiet, too quiet, in fact, and we're going to change that coming up. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the challenges that are implicit here, because there are a lot of them. And I'm going to get Mark and Andy's and Debbie's take on what this means to actually helping you do your job better. So we'll open up the conversation. We're also going to have your Federal News Radio cybersecurity update, afternoons at 30 minutes past the hour. Hour. It's brought to you by Tripwire. And we're going to talk about a report coming from the Navy that makes you think about how are we sharing this information? And so we'll tie it into the new social learning, even in our cybersecurity update. That's just ahead on your Dorabeck Insider. It's right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
What do working out and quitting smoking have in common? They're just a few more reasons for federal employees to get Blue Cross Blue Shield, with everything included, from gym discounts 12, 13, to smoking cessation programs and walking programs to free cancer screenings. Who knew? Learn more about the federal employee program. Call 800-411-BLUE or visit whoknew.fepblue.org.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power, Grantham University, and Dell. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Video teleconferencing solutions are changing the way people communicate by breaking down walls and enabling face-to-face communication regardless of distance or environment. Tanberg, now a part of Cisco, the leading global provider of telepresence, high-definition video conferencing, and mobile video products and services, developed Break Down the Walls to provide a window into the ways government, education, and healthcare organizations are using VTC solutions to help them operate more effectively and efficiently, and the ways video solutions can be used to address the ongoing challenges facing these public sector organizations today. Video breaks down the walls of communication between classrooms, boardrooms, war rooms, and operating rooms, and enables the new way of working. High-definition, real-time, secure face-to-face conversations, as if you're in the same room. Learn more at BreakDownTheWalls.com. That's BreakDownTheWalls.com.
Welcome back to the Dorabeck Insider. It's on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 30 minutes past the hour. That means it's time for your Federal News Radio cybersecurity update. Afternoons at 30 minutes past the hour, and it's brought to you by Tripwire. How much software security training do you have? Well, a new report from the nonprofit IT Security Trade Group, ISC Squared, says nearly 80% of government personnel and contractors say that their organization doesn't provide sufficient training and guidance for software security. And more than a third says that improving security and training education should be a top priority. InfoSecurity reports that security personnel should create a checklist with questions like, am I meeting the National Institute of Science and Technology requirements, or am I compliant with the software development lifecycle? You can read much more. It's on our website, federalnewsradio.com/DoraBeckInsider, or just go to DoraBeckInsider.com. We have it all linked up for you right there. And tune in for your cybersecurity update. Afternoons at 30 minutes past the hour. It's brought to you by Tripwire, and it's right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We are continuing the Federal News Radio Book Club, and I told everyone that their moments of shyness are now over. This is where we really get to flesh out some of the ideas here. And just to introduce everybody, we are joined by Tony Bingham. He is president and CEO of the American Society of Training and Development, and he is author of our selection for the Federal News Radio Book Club, The New Social Learning, A Guide to Transforming Organizations Through Social Media. Also joining us, Mark Oler. He is innovation evangelist at the Defense Acquisition University. Andrew Kurzmarzik, he is the community manager for GovLoop. And, of course, Debbie Weil. She's one of Fast Company's most influential women in technology, and you can find her book, The Corporate Blogging Book. The new version is out right now. So thank you all guys all for being here. We were talking about some of the challenges, and in fact during the break, Debbie, you were saying, hold on, this is so often people think of Facebook and Twitter as, okay, I'm just connecting with friends, but this is a different way of thinking about this, isn't it?
The premise of this book is just absolutely fascinating. This is not about social media marketing. It's not about Comcast cares with their millions of Twitter followers. It's really more interesting. It's about a new way of working together that means not just collaborating, but innovating. And if you think about it, I mean, it's great that the companies have blogs and Facebook pages, but this is really more exciting, the idea that the people working for the companies are using these tools to innovate.
And you've written about blogging as how you go about doing it, and your book's great and talks about, because particularly when it first came out, no one was talking about this in the corporate space. So you were really cutting all sorts of, you were on the bleeding edge of this. And now a lot of folks do it and are saying, hold on, does this help me learn? And in this book, he talks about, hold on, we're talking about him as if he's not here. But we talk about, hold on, this helps you, a leader can help you build teams within your organization. Have you seen that happen before?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I have a whole chapter about CEO blogging in my book, which came out originally in 2006.
Yeah.
And the whole idea is that by thinking out loud, in a sense, both your internal troops and externally, people in the public can see how you think, and in that way you're leading and managing, but leading is more important, in a new way, in a way that is really more authentic and much more persuasive.
Mark,
well,
you,
yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that authentic puts a nice spin on it in that it's putting this human face on it, right? That the title of the book, The New Social Learning, isn't The New Social Training.
Yeah.
And that's a critical difference, I think, as we look at this, is that we're not talking about training here in the way that we've traditionally cast it. Like you mentioned earlier, it's not about courses. It's about people learning what they need to do to get their jobs done. And I think the word down there, the transforming organizations kind of phrase, is part of the subtitle, but it gets underappreciated in the impact that these things could actually have on the organizations. That we have this tendency, Roy Amara said, we have this tendency to overestimate in the short run and underestimate in the long
right.
run. And I think that could happen here. These kinds of technologies and the cultural changes they'll bring are really going to transform organizations.
And in fact, in the book, Tony, you describe, we define learning as the transformative process of taking in information that, when internalized and mixed with what we have experienced, changes what we know and builds on what we can do. It's based on input, process, and reflection, and it is what changes us. One of my favorite graphs in the entire book, because this, you know, I agree with Mark. What we're talking about here is change, transformation, and my goodness, that's a challenge for all of us, isn't it?
Especially as the economy starts to come around and organizations are going to start competing again for talent. And their philosophy, their culture is going to have to change in order to support the acquisition and retention of talent going forward.
Andy Karzmarczyk is with GovLoop. And Andy, you see this a lot, particularly on GovLoop and people sharing. And my goodness, what marvelous things actually happen. Learning takes place in, yes, places like Facebook and GovLoop, isn't it?
Well, and it's happening every day. My favorite example is there was a guy from OPM, Office of Personnel Management, who had a question about geographic information systems, and he posted it in our USGS group, and within 9 minutes, a guy from a county in Illinois responded to that question with exactly what he needed. Now, in a follow-up, he did say he needed to go to some additional formal training in a classroom setting, but he at least got some cursory knowledge and an introduction to that concept before he then took it to a more traditional place for learning.
It's always my favorite story about my favorite GovLoop story is the Acquisition 2.0 community,
right?
Where just absolutely remarkable things have happened. And in fact, a group has come up called the Better Buy Project, where they're actually going out and trying some of these things, and then they come back and they share their lessons learned. And no classroom involved here, but incredible learning taking place.
No, and I think Mary Davey at GSA has done a great job in terms of heading up that group on GovLoop and pushing the idea of federal acquisition to be more open, more transparent, and dare I say, a little bit faster.
And faster, more efficient, doing things, saying, hold on, we're not just doing them the same old way. We're going to try something new. It takes real management risk. And in fact, when we come back, we're going to talk about, as a leader, how do you deal with some of those risks? Because that can be a big challenge in there. So we're going to talk about that when we come back. And we'll also tell you that story about the Navy and what they're doing to share information. That will be in our Federal News Radio DOD report, which comes up at 40 minutes past the hour. All of that as we continue on the Dora Beck Insider. It's right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Cyber attacks on the U.S. federal government have increased by 300% in the past 5 years. As defenders of sensitive data, you need to respond quickly to new attack vectors. You need to detect threats instantly. New FISMA reform calls this continuous monitoring. But does continuous monitoring solve your IT security problem? Continuous monitoring without applying intelligence is passive. You're watching the data without knowing which changes or events equal threats. Without intelligence, you get more data, and you don't need more data. Join Tripwire for a complimentary webcast to learn how continuous monitoring through file integrity monitoring helps you to identify vulnerabilities, mitigate threats, and manage your risk. To learn more about how Tripwire can help your agency, visit tripwire.com/gov. That address again is tripwire.com/gov.
Hey Ravens fans, join your friends and fellow fans and paint the town purple this season. Celebrate Purple Fridays each week by wearing your best purple jersey, shirt, or accessory to school, work, or play. For happy hour, head to your favorite Bill Bateman's Bistro for appearances from the cheerleaders and Jim Beam drink specials. Find the schedule on BaltimoreRavens.com, show your team spirit, and get your purple on.
I'm Amy Morris. Here's a look at Friday morning's Federal Drive. We'll find out how you can help solve a decades-old mystery behind a damaged veteran's plaque. And tips for open season from benefit consultant Ed Zerndorfer. What do you need to be looking for? All of that and more tomorrow morning starting at 6 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. For all the latest federal news, check out our website, federalnewsradio.com.
Welcome back to the Dora Beck Insider on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 40 minutes past the hour. That means it's time for your Federal News Radio DOD report. It comes to you afternoons at 40 minutes past the hour. The Navy wants to literally grow sailors' brains with an iPhone app. Yes, there's an app for that, apparently. And they're reaching out to small businesses for help. It's called the Brain Fitness Training Program. The goal? To sharpen sailors' cognitive skills, improving working memory, attention, learning procession, and decision-making. The Danger Room, Wired's Danger Room, says for the tools to work, it's got to be an ultra-mobile platform, like an iPhone or a netbook. And the Navy wants to actually see brain tissue growth. Adult brain cells expand and contract in response to stimuli, a process that's known as neuroplasticity. And growth in this context actually means a faster brain where synapses fire electrical impulses more rapidly in response to that stimuli. This brain growth could help troops recover from traumatic brain injury and make sharper, more alert, and more active soldiers. Pretty cool. We have the story linked up on our website. You can find it online, DoraBeckInsider.com, or go to FederalNewsRadio.com/DoraBeckInsider. They take you to the same place. And tune in for your DOD report. Afternoons at 40 minutes past the hour. It's every day right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We are continuing the Federal News Radio Book Club. We are talking about the book, the wonderful book, The New Social Learning. It's a guide to transforming organizations through social media. And we are joined by the author of the book, Tony Bingham. He's president and CEO of the American Society for Training and Development, Mark Olert. He is the innovation evangelist, one of the coolest titles in government, for the Defense Acquisition University. Andrew Karsmarzik is the community manager for GovLoop, and Debbie Weil, she is a social media consultant and author of the corporate blogging book. I'm so thrilled to have them all here. I really have been so excited about this, and poor Emily has to deal with me when I get this way because I'm like jumping out of my seat. So I want to talk about some of the challenges out there. Mark, I'm going to have you start because you're an innovative evangelist. You have to deal with us all the time, and the interest thing is people find very creative ways of saying no, we're not going to do it.
Sure, they do. And I think one of the ways that they've approached saying no to the implementation of social media in organizations has been to go to the same objections that we used to have to deploying enterprise systems in the past. So it's about privacy, it's about security, it's about money, or it's about integration with other systems. And those aren't the problems with social media, with making them successful. I call them the three horsemen are fear, control, and trust. And these are very human problems. And the challenge is, if we don't address these problems from a human standpoint, then these systems are going to fail. Whether or not we successfully implement them technologically or not, if we don't address the human side, they're going to fail.
And Debbie, one of the things that I always say, and even it's in your book talking about blogging, if you're going to do this, it has to in some way help you do your job better, or else it you need to have some kind of return on the investment that you're making, because this is an investment.
Well, that's true. There's this huge discussion about, you know, what is the ROI, certainly for businesses using this as a marketing tool. So I'd like to hear from these gentlemen. What about that as a challenge about measuring the ROI of using social media internally as a collaborative tool? Does that come up as a persistent question?
I think the history is that people have a tendency to say, okay, what is the ROI? And we suggest taking a step back and looking at what is the impact of implementing these tools. Are you doing your job better? Are you solving more complex problems? Is onboarding working more effectively? There's a lot of ways to measure the impact of it without coming down to a really hardline traditional ROI measure.
Well, and I'll say this, is that instead of return on investment, I like to talk about return on interaction. So what's the return on having better collaboration across the enterprise, like Tony's saying? What's the return on having richer, more productive conversations with more people across the enterprise? And it's one of those questions that people never say, what's the ROI on email?
Right.
Because it's an accepted part of business practice. And I think we're at the point now where we're seeing these things become such a part of business practice that ROI isn't becoming moot, but it's certainly becoming less of a conversation point than it was when we were looking at deploying a $2 million LMS.
And I always point to the Blockbuster case. Blockbuster, it was 20 years ago that the first Blockbuster store opened. And remember how great that was. You could go and get the movie and you'd take it home and you didn't have to buy it. Well, now Blockbuster just went bankrupt because there's another company that figured out how to use technologies. If you're not figuring out, and I think it's true even in a government space, if you're not figuring out how to be innovative and do things better, you're really going to be left behind.
Sure, and for us at DAU, we're a certifying body. Yeah. We teach a lot of courses, but our challenge is always to maintain an eye on what's our value that we provide to our stakeholders and not just our activity.
Andy, talk a little bit, because you have this background at Graduate School USDA, or the Graduate School, or whatever they're calling themselves these days, Prince, I think. And it really has become almost essential to how you do training and learning.
Well, so what I love about this book is it's finally given me some more elegant language to talk about what I've been saying for the last several years, which is I've been using words like, and you and I, Chris, we have our debates about semantics and what we want to call all of this, but I've been calling it knowledge media, or I've been talking about the perpetual conference or the perpetual classroom, and I think saying the new social learning really captures what this is about. I remember being in a meeting at the graduate school, and I was trying to help them see where the future was going with all of this, and really that the future had arrived, and I would draw, you know, four disparate circles on a page, and I would say, this is how we do training right now. But what happens in between those dots? When people come to us, people can't wait 4 or 5 months for the next training session. How do we become a valuable resource to them between the dots? And that's what social media and social learning really is all about, is connecting people between the dots and those disparate moments when they go to training.
Tony, and we have had this. I'm not a big fan of the term social media because it's the socialness. I think in an enterprise context, people go, "Hold on, our organization isn't about you being social. Our organization is about getting our mission accomplished," and it almost distracts people. But socialness is really an important part of learning.
It's an important part of learning. It's an important part of getting anything done within an organization. How do you get things done? It's typically through other people within the organization.
And so it's not just semantics here, and you do talk about social learning, this collaborative process that is, I think, essential to becoming a transformed organization, to being really agile.
Yes, and we actually make the distinction between social learning and informal learning, and you can read the book to really get into the details about it. But some of the terminology is important to be aligned with.
And talk about the 70-20-10 rule.
Yeah, that's a finding by Eichinger and Lombardo, and what they said is that basically the majority of learning, 70%, is learned through on-job experiences, another 20% through mentoring, and 10% through formal scheduled classes.
Yeah.
And so the majority of learning occurring within the organization is informal or non-structured learning.
Mark, as you guys think about this, and you have the wonderful job of going out and thinking of new ways of people actually learning.
Sure.
What are people, actually using these to learn in different ways?
I think that's one of the great points, Chris, is that people are already using these tools. That we're not bringing something new to people to do. They're already doing it. What we're trying to figure out is how to make best application of what they're already doing inside the enterprise. So I'm an anthropologist. One of my favorite phrases is paving the deer path.
Yeah.
And someone pointed out that that wouldn't really help the deer, having a paved path. But the idea that we're going to find out how people are already using these tools and technologies and find a way to enable them and empower them and extend them within the enterprise so we can accomplish our mission better.
Do people freak out over the potential loss of control? Because this all of a sudden opens things up, and as a leader, I'm going, hold on, and particularly in like a place like DOD where, you know, it's a top-down hierarchical, that can be really scary.
It can be scary, but there's also tremendous opportunity. I mean, there's the natural tendency to gravitate towards some of the bad stories, but if you look at the majority of successes that are occurring using these technologies, using the approach of collaborative learning, there's tremendous success occurring.
Vast majority, too. We're not just talking slivers.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
the horror stories are at the 0.01% of the scale. What we're seeing, though, is you're always going to have – your boss is always going to be your boss. You're always going to have the C2 structure, right? But control over who's an expert within the organization, who's the leading figure within the organization, that's the kind of control that's going to get attacked and changed by these technologies.
And when we come back, I want to talk about one of the other big challenges, which is – and it's one I always hear. Will people post incorrect information? Does bad information get out there? How do you deal with that? We're going to talk about that challenge when we come back. It's the Dorabeck Insider Book Club. We're talking about the book, The New Social Learning, A Guide to Transforming Organizations Through Social Media. And we'll continue our conversation just ahead on the Dorabeck Insider. It's right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
There is a watchmaking standard that is revered around the world. That standard comes from Rolex. From clasp to bracelet to its unique watertight oyster case, a Rolex holds its value because it was intended to. Crafted from just three precious metals, platinum, steel, and gold, each defies the ordinary. Its steel, 904L, virtually indestructible and corrosion resistant, is incomparable. Its patented Everrose Gold, created in an exclusive foundry, will remain beautiful for life. Inside, a genuine Rolex movement is a product of superiority and remarkable testing. It is unrivaled. At Rolex, flawless standards create more than a watch. They create a value that was meant to endure. For a complete selection of Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Tourneau, the world's largest watch store since 1900. Tourneau, the fashion center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
Video teleconferencing solutions are changing the way people communicate by breaking down walls and enabling face-to-face communication, regardless of distance or environment. Tanberg, now a part of Cisco, developed Break Down the Walls to provide a window into the ways government, education, and healthcare organizations are using VTC solutions to help them operate more effectively and efficiently, and the ways video solutions can be used to address challenges facing public sector organizations today. Learn more at BreakDownTheWalls.com.
What do getting your blood pressure and eating celery have in common? They're just a few more reasons for federal employees to get Blue Cross Blue Shield, with everything included, from physicals to diet plan discounts and free maternity care to gym discounts. Who knew? To learn more about the federal employee program, call 800-411-BLUE or visit whonew.fepblue.com.
Citizens are leveraging location information through GPS devices, mapping software, and location-enabled web applications to enhance their daily lives. Are you able to say the same about your agency? How can federal managers leverage rapidly evolving services, technology, and innovative analytics to take advantage of location and time information? Find out on November 18th at IBM's free seminar, Geospatial Temporal Analytics, How Government Agencies Can Extract Value from Location and Time Data, at the Analytics Solutions Solutions Center in Washington, D.C. This seminar will provide insights and examples of how to use GIS information technology to provide your agency with innovative new solutions to meet your business and mission challenges. Learn firsthand from IBM's researchers as they describe the geospatial temporal research initiatives that will become government solutions of tomorrow. Please join IBM, Esri, and key customers for this informative event. Don't delay. Register today at IBM.com/events/federal.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
Software developed at NASA's Ames Research Center is enabling fuel savings for airlines while also increasing their planes' environmental efficiency. The Ames Direct 2 software is a product of NASA Aeronautics Research in Air Traffic Management. It enables airlines to save fuel and reduce emissions by automatically identifying flight shortcuts that are wind favorable. It's already been adopted by the Boeing Company for commercial use. They're offering a new air traffic efficiency service that uses the software. Project directors say they've estimated a potential combined savings of about 900 flying minutes per day for all aircraft that use the software. That could mean a potential savings of tens of thousands of flight minutes per year for a medium-sized airline.
General Dynamics Information Technology, delivering the strength of technology to achieve mission success. General Dynamics IT. Visit GDIT.com to learn more.
Join more than 650 logisticians at one of the most influential forums of great logistical minds in the U.S. It's the Defense Logistics 2010 Conference, November 30th through December 3rd in Arlington, Virginia. Hear from senior logisticians and policymakers from across DOD and the services as they give a comprehensive look into how the new administration has impacted their short-term initiatives and long-term vision, plus much more. Register online today at defenselog.com.
Welcome back to the Dora Beck Insider on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 54 past the hour. And it's a Federal News Radio book club. We're talking about the book, The New Social Learning, A Guide to Transforming Organizations Through Social Media. It's by our guest, Tony Bingham. And also joining us, Mark Olert. He is the innovation evangelist for the Defense Acquisition University. Andrew Karzmarczyk is a community manager, the community manager for GovLoop. And Debbie Weil, she's a D.C.-based corporate social media consultant, author of the book, The Corporate Blogging Book. And during the break, we were talking about these young kids, these people who don't have phones, don't even remember phones with cords. And so often we think, okay, they'll just take care of all this. We have to do this because of them. But as we were talking about during the break, sometimes they don't always use these tools.
Well, that's true. Just because they're maybe busy with something else, or they haven't thought about. But the point we were talking about, which is truly, I think, fascinating and just cause for great optimism, is the idea that with these tools and platforms, the sort of smart voices can bubble up from the bottom. You know, even in fairly rigid government agencies, and you can hear from them, and that's what the tools enable you to do. It's not just collaborative, but it's enabling smart voices, whether the person is young or older, to be heard and to really make an impact and maybe change the way things are being thought about or decided.
Andy, you see this a lot, and we talk about this generational thing, and I think the generational thing is maybe one of the biggest overblown stories that we talk about.
Yeah, Chris, you know, I've been doing that. Actually, my training about generational diversity was how I even got involved with social media. The CEO at graduate school said, hey, you understand the next generation. Find out what they're going to want in our classrooms in terms of technology, and that's how I got involved with all of this. But as I studied more and I realized, look, this isn't just for kids. This is being driven by, in many ways, 40-somethings, most of you look at LinkedIn or even on GovLoop and some of these places, the average age is usually early 40s. So I started trying to reframe the way we think about this, and I used a term called Generation C, which is anybody from any generation who is using these tools in a collaborative, community-oriented, and creative way.
And it's not just young, as you always point out. One of the most active people on GovLoop is not a young person.
That's right. It's a guy named Henry Brown down in Alabama, Huntsville, Alabama. And he's got to be a 60-something guy, but he's one of the most active, just sharing links and commenting on others' posts.
Unfortunately, we're running out of time. But Tony, what's the one thing that you hope people take away from this book?
That they take action. I mean, that's the one thing we really want people to do is take action and to really start from where they are and to not try and do everything overnight and look for small successes.
And Mark, is that what you're seeing? I mean, my sense is, and in fact, I was reading a blog post the other day where somebody was saying, hold on, all of a sudden I see people starting to talk about this. They seem to get it. Are people starting to get this now, or are we still on the learning curve in terms of helping them understand that all of us are smarter than each of us individually?
I don't know about getting it. We're certainly talking about it more than we ever have before, so hopefully that'll lead down the road. The two pieces I'd say to take away from this is, one, that it's inevitable. These capabilities are being baked into the technology we already use, and that it's a human dynamic and not a technology one.
Debbie, your biggest takeaway as you were reading through the book?
The human element. Fear will always be there, fear of something new, but getting out ahead and experiencing the tools and the platforms usually gives people a better sense of how they really work and how there's probably less risk than they think. And there is always some bad stuff, but people have a lot of common sense and they discount a lot of the bad stuff or the critical stuff because there's so much more positives that can come out of collaborating.
I didn't give you a chance to talk about that and do it in 15 seconds. If people are afraid of, hold on, what if somebody posts something that's wrong? What do I do?
Yeah, and we like to share that this is not a technology problem. This is really a management education problem. Somebody can have a conversation in the hall and say something just as easily as they can post on Twitter or Facebook or anywhere else.
And that can get around just as quickly as all of this.
Oh, yes.
A wonderful discussion. Thank you all for doing it. Mark Olert, he is Innovation Evangelist at the Defense Acquisition University. Andrew Karsmarzik with GovLoop. Debbie Weil, get her book, the corporate blogging book. And, of course, Tony Bingham. He is author of The New Social Learning. And you can find a link to the book and to this discussion. It's all on our website, federalnewsradio.com/DoraBeckInsider, or just go to DoraBeckInsider.com. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
And just ahead, we are going to talk about the new program, well, a program that got big developments to the corporate, federal career intern program, just ahead on the Dora Beck Insider.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOPFM HD2 Washington, the Washington, D.C. Navy Athletics,
CNN Radio.